Pasha Shmeis over here, we're up to Pasuk, Pasha Gil, Pasuk Aleph, Moshe rests on Yisrael. And there's a Rabbeinu Bechaya that speaks about why it is that the many of the Avos were shepherds. He says it before also. Moshe Ra, Ochaz Moshe Rabbeinu Omnes Hazeh Kiminig HaTzadikim HaShonim. Ki Kein Matzino Behevel HaTzadik. We find Hevel. Gam Vavos Olam, the others, the Shvatim, they were all shepherds. Why? Vatam. One is Kedei Sheyisrachek Min HaYishuv She'olei Tzlachet. That the person should not be, when you're around with a society, there's a certain propensity for chet, and you move away from it, there's no chet. V'oi, k'dei lizbodit b'nevuah. Nevuah requires a certain isolation, a certain dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a shepherd is isolated. U'ma she'om achre achar amidbo, nimet ha'kotzer v'shei Moshe b'srach na'sodus, the Pasuk also telling you he took them out to the Midbar because there are no fields over there, it's empty, it's Hefka, and he wouldn't have Gezel. And by the way, this is one of the reasons maybe we find a lot of Chassidish and Egunim that have their origins as a shepherd's niggin. It's, also a lot of Hasidic lore around the shepherd's niggin. And stories I hear of the shepherd singing, took the nigun from him here and there. There was a sense that a shepherd being alone and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also kind of being in a paternal type of job where he has to care for the sheep and he has to worry for them and so on and so forth, that would be a conducive to a ruchniyistika type of mood. So that the shepherd is somebody who's a little more ruchniyistik in that sense, and that's why the nigunim seem to find their place in amongst Jewish Negunim. Okay, next one is Rabbeinu Bechaya that explains the parasha of Moshe's first gilui. This is our first detailed gilui of Nevuah. Vayar Malach Hashem, Vayar Malach Hashem Elo Balav Esesh Nechasneh. The Malach appeared from the fire, and he saw there's a sneh that's bor be'esh, a sneh in an ukol. Moshe said, let me see what's doing, and so on. Well, derech hapshat. So the Rabbi Mechaya says, al derech hapshat. Inyan ha-parsha zois, ki Moshe hisik shloish in yonim. Moshe was able to, he was able to grasp three levels. Ve'elohim, ha-esh, the fire, ha-malach, the angel, va-shchina, the shchina. First thing that he saw was a fire that just didn't get that didn't consume the bush. He saw it physically. It's a physical phenomenon that the eye caught. When he saw the snare burning, he recognized it that it's fire. And he thought that it's normal fire. So he looked at it and he said, oh, there's a fire burning, regular fire. And he watches it burn and the snare's not consumed. Okay, not this kind, let's get close and see what's this all about. Is it something about the snare that's unusual? Or is it something about the fire? If he would have thought that it had something to do with Shemayim, he wouldn't have gotten closer. But he said, you know what? This must be a new type of fire, a new type of wood. Maybe through a patent on it or something. After he saw the fire, he now was able with a seichel to perceive a malach. The mashmos of the pasuk is he saw the fire first, v'acharkach hamalach mitoch ha'esh, and then he saw the malach. V'ach shenes chazik sichlo b'riyas hamalach, and after his seichel became moved up a notch with the by seeing the malach, roya b'mara hanevua kvoid hashchina, he then saw the shchina, then perceived the shchina, v'zeh shom v'yashem sor lirois v'ikol avalikim. So I just first of all would like to be medayik something. He made it clear that the fire was something that he saw physically. The angel was something that he perceived, but it wasn't really a physical vision. It's a term that's used in many Rishonim. It's called Ein HaSeichel, that it's the eye of the Seichel. In other words, it's the perception of, it's the ability of the Seichel to grasp something. So for instance, let's give an example. If I see a rock fall, I say I saw gravity. And because gravity is an idea that's so firmly imprinted in our minds, we actually, you know, when I say I see gravity all around us, I mean it semi-literally. In other words, I perceive these things as gravity, and it looks to me. A malach is also, a malach is not seen with the retina, but it's seen with the seichel in a very palpable way. And finally, Vayikra Lekim is just, you're mekabel the kol lekim. There's no re over there, chas from anything. Then he says, "Uvnei sha'ato is tchilas nevuas Moshe, being that this is the beginning of nevuas Moshe, rotsa Hakadosh Baruch Hu chanchem at me'at, ulahalos madrega madrega shalik sichlei." This was something that the Rabbi Mechai is explaining why the whole show. This is like a major production. First comes the fire, then comes the angel, then comes Hashem. He said, because it was the first time that he had nevuah, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted to move him madrega madrega. Moshe ma'adav adayma, Moshe. If a person were to be in a dark house a long time, if let's say he were to go out and see the sun in its brightness, he wouldn't be able to see it. It would be dark also. You need to slowly get your star until it becomes easy for him. Just like this happens with sun, who adin v'atam ba'atzavar ha-seichel, think with the seichel, kadvarim ha-sichliim b'dimin advarim ha-tivim. Things that are seichel, that are in the seichel, are similar to things that are natural. Ki yikra le-seichel mikachushim. So just like our senses cannot stand a sudden flood of input, and we shut down, same thing is true with the seichel. This is a very important point over here. That, in other words, a person needs to learn ruchnius in gradual levels. I want to apply it in a few places that I think are very, very important. Whenever we attempt to short-circuit a process, for instance, Somebody is a big lamdin, and Reb Chaim's Torah to him is Ner L'Ragel. This is Reb Chaim, the Bekas Shmuel, this is his Torah, and so on. Fine. They're abstract. They're unusual in that sense. So what he does is, he makes a cheshbon, I have Talmidim now. And why should they have to trek that whole long trek of going from Rashi to Tosfos to the Maharsha, to the Rashba, to this, to that, to look at Reb Chaim? Why don't I just start Reb Chaim? Because that's the truth. What happens is that the kid doesn't understand Reb Chaim, and the whole thing is, it collapses. Because you didn't take him step by step. So you just gave him something abstract that he's no shaykhus to it. The same thing is true, let's say, learning Maral, learning Chassidus, learning Kabbalah. All of these things, it's like a person eats a meal and he says to himself, dessert was the best part of the meal by far. Next time we're going to start, it's going to be dessert all the way. It's going to be four desserts. It doesn't enhance the meal. It's something that you don't like. When you progress in Ruchnius and you get to deeper levels, it's appreciated, it's understood, it's healthy, only when there was a step-by-step progress of building from the solid upwards. But if you start at the top floor, you don't build a foundation, it's destructive. It's something that, unfortunately, people are in a rush today, and they tend to short-circuit the process. Last paragraph in Rebbeinu Chai. The Chaim Atin Bissol, we find our Kaisel, Shechin Chai Kashbrochu, but it's in his attorney, Ma'at Ma'at. Kashbrochu got them slowly. Tchila Nitztavu B'mara V'mixas Mitzvahs, V'im Shabbos V'dinim, V'achakach Nitztavu says that it was B'Sinai, V'achakach Tashan Torah Ratzmo. Kashbrochu gave them Torah gradually. The Chaim Atin Bissol, Gossi Yisbarach, Sheitzach Odeh L'chan Yisrach L'mat Ma'at. The same is true about the perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubazeti Asagose Ulam Sechav Zolechas, it will keep growing. Ke'in or Ashacha, like the light of the morning, Shemasu Zorach Mat Or, it starts a little bit, Vahar Kholo Chamachim. Vezeo Loshna Novi B'neida Nirvodas Hashem Keshach Nochem Eitzoy. Limadno HaKosuf. The Pasuk, it says in the Pasuk, we shall understand to pursue God like Shachar Nochem Eitzoy. Like the morning break, like the dawn break, is follows for the one who sees it. He says the pasuk is telling us sheyesh anoshe sheyudim lirdeif. That people don't understand what pursuing means. Umevakshim lahasig ayidia basachat. They're trying to have it in one shot. But laze ama veneida nirdeful adas. Sheneida tchila echner. First, we need to understand how to approach it. And explain the quality of the pursuit. It's most appropriately found like the dawn. Not one shot, and this is the way, when we speak about light and the big picture in the world, the light breaks to us gradually, and that's what it has to be. This is also a very strong foundation for the intuitive sense that about tshuva has to progress slowly. It used to be we were nispoled from the person who walked into a Baal Tshuva place, and a week later he was a Satmar Chassid. And wow, look how quickly it's the Tshuva. It is so wrong, because really what happens is a person can function in two ways. A person can build up his body slowly to be able to strengthen endurance, or a person can shoot himself with adrenaline and do something that is completely above and beyond what he's ever done before. The downside is that adrenaline is a temporary fix. Since it's really, in a certain sense, short-circuiting the body, and it's really, it can never last, and it's destructive. Sometimes you need it. When you're stuck under the car, the ability to lift up the car and get out of an under a burning car, yes, adrenaline is perfect. But to substitute adrenaline for bodybuilding is an avla on all counts. The same thing is for ruchnius. A person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, took 40 years for him to train us in Torah. Because a person needs to develop in Torah. So if a person develops, then the person is in Torah. It's natural to him, it's him. If a person short-circuits it and he all of a sudden becomes terrifically devout, that's nothing. A, it's not going to last, and it will carry a lot of destructive after-effects, side-effects. And that's why it's something that the person needs to be very wary of. But it's true that this is so true in everything. I always tell over Marshall, there were a few years when I was here without my family, and I had to fend for myself. It was the first time in my life that I had to cook for myself. And I would come home, open up a package of whatever was chicken, and it said on it to cook for an hour, to bake for an hour on 350 degrees, so to cook for an hour in a slow flame, and it was late, so I'm a lamdan. So I would say, a half hour at 700 degrees is equivalent to an hour at 350. A half hour at a high fire is equivalent to an hour at a low fire. The equation works well. Needless to say, I did not end up with supper that night. Those are peanut butter and jelly nights, because it's not the same. Cooking is a process. It's not just intensity is one of the measures of cooking, and high intensity, not only doesn't it compensate for less time, it actually creates its own issues. Okay, let's see the next piece. It's the Torah Samincha. It also speaks about the Mara Sneh. Now, we understand the Mara Sneh is very important, significant. It was the first prophecy of the Avi Kol HaNeviim. Now, there would be a lot to learn over here from the sense of prophecy. That's this is the great prophet becoming a prophet. Vayar Avi Sneh Bor Ve'Eish. He stackled his bone Ba'olam HaShofel. He says it's much deeper than just looking at a fire. He was really looking around at the world around. He saw an extraordinary phenomenon. The world is constantly being used up. The world is constantly being expended. And it's not ceasing to exist. Well, why does the world keep going if it gets expended? And what is it that keeps recycling the world again and again? In other words, in a certain sense, this world is a finite mass, and, you know, this sounds quite familiar, and as we use up and deplete the resources, the world should be gone. He started thinking into this point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw him thinking into the world, how, you know, its being, its essence, its loss. Miyad nigla lav, he revealed himself. He was sitting and thinking about the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared from within those thoughts. Amalai, al tikrav alai, we told him, don't get closer. He wanted to now think about the metaphysical world. Amalai told him, al tikrav alom, don't get closer, actually tisalik masrosecho, amniyas haregesh hasichli, until you don't pull away your machshavas from philosophical or logical thought. Ve'yma machshavas hachakiris begashmis. That's what the pasuk means, take your shoes off. Shekeshem shahamanol mekabla tinov lichachafa. Just like a shoe becomes dirty, umonea regem lehagish merushlo. And a shoe has a problem that it dulls the foot from sensing things that are fine. When you're walking barefoot, every little pebble is you're very aware of it. When you're wearing shoes, you're not. The machshava about physical things, mistanefes umislachleches boy. Monas haseichum lahargish and lahasig drawn sichum aruchnim bezuim asadim. Let's talk about this point, because this point is a really incredible point. There's a paradox here. A person's understanding of ruchnius, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God, comes from an understanding of this world. So I need to think about the world, and I need to think logically, scientifically, however you want to call it, philosophically, and look around the world and find the rough edges of where the world does not make sense within itself. This world cannot, the answer to the riddle of the world cannot be contained within the world. And I do it by logical deduction. I look around and I say, maybe this law of physics is the answer. Maybe this, that, the other thing, so on and so forth. That is appropriate. But when I get to the point and I say there must be something else, I need to put away my seichel and start using some other chush. The answer to this world can't exist, must be a God, is not a God particle. It's something of a very different nature. Let's give a mashal. Let's take the something that he talks about here. If I want to go to visit my friend, I like my friend a lot, want to spend time with him. Okay. So I need to wear shoes until I get to his house, because there are rocks, it's muddy, if I, you know, it's not going to, I'm not going to get this house without it. But when I get this house, if I want to be let in, I have to keep my muddy boots outside and come in my socks or in slippers. He's not going to let me in with the same boots that I trekked through the mud and go in his house in the mud. So are shoes important to get to his house? Are boots important or not? Well, the road has two legs to it. From my house to his house, I must have shoes or boots. From his house inwards, having just, boots are counterproductive. So the mind that sees everything logical, I mean using axioms that are true in the world that we feel and perceive. That's what I mean by logical, is absolutely necessary tool to start the process. Once it gets me to a process, to the end of that, once I get to the end of the world, where the earth becomes, where you fall off the face of the earth, I need to change to something else. And that's what he said. Moshe was a great thinker. And the snare, and this is not different, it's not perceptibly different from Rabbi Mechai and so forth. The Aish and the snare are physical phenomena. And I need to think about those, understand them. Once I understand that there's a point past which that's no longer valid, now we can go right there. I want to maybe explain another point with this. I think it's important. There's a so-called talk about rationalists and rational Judaism and so on. You find the great giants of Kol Yisrael, the Vilna Goyen, Avnezer, Ragachov, many, whose Asek in Gemara and in Halacha L'maisek HaPsak, the Sam Sofa, were extraordinarily logical, extraordinary, and with a very, very keen grasp of reality. And yet, when it comes to other Inyanim, they're very sharp, in sharp disagreement with the so-called rationalists. And the answer is, everything has its means of perception. You perceive physical things through the eyes, through physical experience, through this askus in this world in a very physical way. But the recognition of things that work differently, and those things don't answer to seichel, and they're not. It's like trying to look with a binoculars at a concert. Binoculars don't give you much information about a concert. You could maybe look at the guy who's playing violin and figure out what his shirt looks like, but it's not going to help you much with the understanding or getting the message of the concert. That's the mahala. Mashinema lemeisha shalna lecha leishur shalna lecha echad v'la shnayim ki meisha rotza leistakel v'espaklaya meira. So it's very, very interesting. He's medayik. By Moshe said Shal Na'alecha with a yud, which is Lashon Rabim. And Yeshua, it's Lashon Yachid, Na'alcha. Again, in the pasuk, it you could refer to the shoes as remove your shoe in a very close look away. So it's not in grammar. It's it has explanation, but he gives a different explanation. So since Moshe needed to go up two madrigas, he said you need to go two steps past reason. Look how he moves on Jacob. Betchila be'amalach shem elam, v'achakav yikolav alekim, v'achakav v'emashem roi reisiat shegil l'mailah gdoila v'davah shem reishalima. So it's a progression of milas, and it's going from the most physical to the most ruchnius. And so you need both ends of it. It's a paradox for us, but that's the emes. We need to start with the physical, and unless that's built very solidly, our understanding of the mystical and so on is worthless. But once you get there, we're supposed to leave that behind. By the way, one of the great Mekubalim, the real Mekubalim, his name is Chacham Hillel, Chacham Yaakov Hillel. I was privileged to be a neighbor of his. The person was a big Talmud Chacham and a big Mekubal. And for a while, many years ago, I don't know, 30 years ago or so, he used to have these beginner classes in Kabbalah and so on, and he'd face it out. And he told me that he thought that this would bring a lot of people to Yiddishkeit, a lot of people whose chelek, who could relate a lot more to Kabbalah than Halacha and so on. But he said with time he realized it's a mistake, because Kabbalah, yes, the first two lectures are interesting, but then it becomes work. And somebody who's not used to rolling up his sleeves and thinking about things and chazing things and you know, working things through, is not going to do well with that either. So he said, unless they learn how to think logically and work through Gemara and Halacha, Kabbalah is a waste of time for them. It's very interesting. It's very, very, very similar to the point that Tzvi Zmir is making. Okay, we'll hold it here.